had left off at the end of the war years,
mm-hmm.
and you had told me that, well, they had the layoffs at Bull Key,
mm-hmm.
and you had gone down to unemployment to look for a new...
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and I think, so it's, you know, a lot of details are vague in my mind now.
Mm-hmm.
It was, well, I think I did some little odd jobs then before I got into that.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to work for on a temporary job for the Unified School District. It was 6 months, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think that was my first job after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, and I worked in the famous department store as a PBX operator for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working there. Now, that was later, because one of the girls that were living with us, we rented our bedrooms, you know, with girls. We had two girls in one bedroom, two girls in another bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them came home one day, and she said that they were hiring down the civil service, and for the federal civil service, which I didn't know anything about at that time. And she wasn't interested in the job, wasn't the sort of thing she was interested in, but I was just interested in anything that was available. So I went down there, and they were hiring, several hundred people for the separation center down at Terminal Island. They were separating many sailors from the Navy at that time when the war was over, you know. And so I got taken on down there. And so I went back and forth to Terminal Island on the bus. They had a big kick out of going across that pontoon bridge, you know, if the water would be low, and you'd be standing on the bus, and all of a sudden you'd go down. Yeah. But it was a nice job. We worked with the group I was taken in with first. We had a great big room, and we had to get the sailors' records ready. And they'd bring a whole batch of fellows in, and I guess they'd be held for 2 or 3 days there. I suppose they're having physical examinations and everything. So we had to get their records all caught up, and the group that I was with there, as I remember, we were mostly no, it wasn't just health records, it was their general record, and we had to go through a bunch of stuff, and we hand wrote the things, the pertinent information that they told us they wanted, you know, on each one.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I worked in there for a while, I think altogether I worked about 9 months, that appointment lasted. Then after a while, they had a typing pool, and this particular, I can't remember, I don't think we were typing up the material that had been handwritten by the one group. But anyway, it was typing information into their permanent records.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd bring a whole group in, and we'd just be working fit to kill, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe there wouldn't be any, or maybe they just have a small group one morning, but we had to be available there. So a lot of times we sat around for several hours with nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally they knew they weren't going to have anybody, and they'd give us, you know, let us go home for half a day.
Mm-hmm.
Then we could do anything we wanted. In fact, I learned to knit while I was We could bring handwork in. The only thing we wouldn't let us do was play cards. But, I mean, you know, anything you could sit and do. I mean, the women did their handwork and whatnot.
Was it mainly women that
was? Well, and, yeah, because it was, you know, sort of office-type thing, you know. And in fact, our supervisors were Navy chiefs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
how long had it been from the time, say, I know you'd had the last job in there, and there was you had had some child care type arrangement. Was that in the living you had mentioned before that you had boarded?
My mother was taking care of these two mm-hmm. young children.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we took them with us for a while over when, in 1944, I think it was, that would have been before the war was over, bought the house over on Gaviota Avenue,
mm-hmm.
and we took the children with us there, and after, I don't know how long, I don't remember exactly how long we had them, but then the mother got married and came and took the children away, so we didn't have the little boys anymore after that.
Yeah. So was there a time between, say, when you were laid off at Volte and when you got this job at the civil service, at the separation center?
Well, I expect there might have been a matter of 2 or 3 weeks, but we didn't have enough money put by to go any great length of time, so I think it was, you know, just a short time till I,
mm-hmm.
I found that.
Okay. So then what was the pay like at that time?
Oh, I think it was something like $1,900 a year or something at that time. I can't remember. But
so it was low.
That seemed to me. But I mean, it was adequate for that time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed to me that I was still working 6 days a week when I was on that job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure I was. Uh-huh. So it came out, you know. And in fact, I was making as much, I think, as I had been at Volte.
Mm-hmm. Was it
lower,
or was it about the same?
About the same, I'd say.
Had you thought at all of getting another job in anything like the aircraft work?
Well, I liked the work, and I would have been happy to, but as I remember, I didn't think that there was anything like that available for women, you know,
mm-hmm.
at that time. It was just as an emergency that they hired women in, and I didn't figure that there was enough chance finding anything. To bother trying to keep in that line,
mm-hmm.
and what I really wanted to do was office work, if I had a chance, you know. But
mm-hmm.
I hadn't really had a position or been educated as a secretary or anything like that. I had just taken typing in school, you know, and hadn't really. Done too much with that, and of course I was, I'd been going down to the Graw Business School when I first came here, just kind of brush up typing, and I tried shorthand again, but I just didn't have the kind of a mind that can do shorthand. I'd come to something I didn't know, and my mind just stopped, you know. And I tried 2 or 3 times in my life to learn shorthand, unsuccessful. But I did like typing and office work, and this was more or less, you know, on that line. I enjoyed it. And then I did change over to the typing pool, and after a while, as I said, and typed. And I had kind of a hard time then because I never was a fast typist, and I had trouble at first. Doing as much as was expected of me,
mm-hmm.
but I finally made it, and so that was what I did the rest of the time I was on that appointment. Of course, then after a while, when they had separated all the sailors that they couldn't handle in their regular way down there, why, that appointment ended. But while we were still there, of course, that was a temporary appointment, and I didn't have to take any exam or anything. Mm-hmm. But while we were there, Civil Service opened up a GS-2 examination. Mm-hmm. And so they made it easy for anybody that wanted to, that was working there, to take it. They brought a whole flock of typewriters in and everything. And so naturally, I went ahead and took the examination. Mm-hmm. And got on the Federal Register then. Mm-hmm. And I think I just made a passing grade in typing, but I passed the written examination with a high grade, so it gave me a fair averaging. The two of them gave me a fairly decent place on the register, but I didn't hear anything about it till for a while after that. Then after that, then I worked on a temporary appointment for the Unified School District. I worked down in 3rd and Olive there, which was where I had taken my training, what little training they gave us before we were taken out of Vaultee. By that time, it had been changed, you know, and they had, at that time, I don't know whether it still is, they had kind of three sections with the Long Beach City College. They had the liberal arts and the business and technical, and then they had the general adult, which, you know, took care of most of the adult classes that they had. And at 3rd and Olive there, I was working for the business and technical. Mm-hmm. And they had a lot of their technical classes in that building at that time. Mm-hmm. That was before they opened up the place up on Pacific Coast Highway. Later on, why the BTD moved up there. Mm-hmm. But then after that, I worked there. It was just sort of kind of a hodgepodge of little things. I was the switchboard operator. Mm-hmm. And then...
Had you ever had any experience doing switchboard?
Well, it was my first job that I think I mentioned in the first was the telephone operator.
Right.
And that gave me enough knowledge that it wasn't hard to pick up the switchboard operation. All you had to do was show me, you know, how it worked. And
mm-hmm.
So that was been kind of a handy little thing to fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
And I corrected tests, and there were just little things that I could do while I was sitting at the switchboard, because it wasn't a busy board. A lot of other things. And then after that, I think then was when I went with the famous department store as a switchboard operator. And that was a busy board, but I liked it, and I was the pay wasn't very high. I think it wasn't as high as I was making, but I haven't any idea now what I got. Someplace amongst my things, I've got all that information down on one of my federal applications, but I didn't know just where to put my hand on.
Do you know roughly in terms of time frames and about how long were each of
these
jobs?
Well, I know that I worked for several months at the famous, and then um, the um, they came to my name on the register, and they called me to the VA hospital. And that was in October 1947, I believe. Mm-hmm. And all these things happened between 1945 and 1947. Mm-hmm. And so I went out there. Well, it wasn't the VA hospital then. It was still the Navy hospital. Mm-hmm. And so I went out there, and I got taken on there. So, of course, you start out with a temporary appointment, and then you work yourself into a permanent appointment. Mm-hmm. But I liked the work, and it worked out so that they kept me on. And so I was there for, well, I retired in 1974.
You didn't have
to stay there. Yeah, so that was my longest employment.
Now, what is it exactly that you were doing there? Was it the CBS, you think, or was that?
Oh, you mean I was taken on in the, they called it topside personnel. They had the personnel office where you go through for employment. It wasn't that. That it was personnel office for the active duty personnel, mm-hmm. And there it was really a records office, and we worked there with just their health records. The active duty fellows would come in there. Well, they mostly weren't for serious disabilities, you know, like they had tonsillectomy, or we had. They did bring in a few real serious. Cases, but mostly they just stayed there for a short time before they were transferred to a veterans hospital. Mm-hmm. And so they were mostly short duration, you know. And so we had to, the doctors wrote their charts, and when they were ready to be discharged, why, we got their health records and the doctor's charts, and we had to transcribe those into the health records. The health record was a folder about this long, I'd say, and about this wide, and we had these sheets of paper that fit in the folder.
Like,
yeah.
Two by four or something?
I'd say, something like that. Mm-hmm. And so we would type from the doctor's written records and their charts on these, and that was something, learning to read some of those doctors' writing. You ever looked at a prescription, try to read a whole chart.
Yeah.
But it was interesting, so that was what I did at first. And they had several different operations in that same office. There were, maybe six of us or so that were typing up the health records, a batch of them would be ready to be sent back to their duty stations. While there were some of the girls that got their records all ready to go, you know, and there were different things. And some of them were being discharged at the hospital there, and they had some girls that were working on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked for quite a while, and I wouldn't. Say that in June 1950, the Navy hospital was closed. Well, actually, it was closed a little bit before that as a Navy hospital. In June 1950, the VA hospital from Birmingham moved down here and took it over, and then it became a VA hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And so between that. October 1947 and June. In fact, I didn't work. In fact, I was laid off a little bit before. I think I was laid off about in May. They were through with me. But I had, in the meantime, piled up all of my annual leave so that I was on annual leave and still getting full pay, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, you started right out in the Federal Service earning 26 days a year of annual leave, which is, you know, a good month of of leave. Mm-hmm. So all the time I was there, I don't think I took any annual leave. I piled it up.
Mm-hmm.
And after, later on the federal service, you started out with 13 days of leave and kind of worked up over several years to earning 26, but I got in on the ground floor on that.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
that I could be on annual leave and was still getting money. Well, before I ran out of annual leave, the VA came down and took over, and so I hiked right out there and got taken on by the VA.
Mm-hmm.
So, without a break in service.
Oh, I see. So, about what year did that happen?
That was in June 1950 that the VA came down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was probably about a month on annual leave in between.
Mm-hmm.
And you could keep on accumulating annual leave in those days, too, without limit. Later on, by the federal service, that you couldn't carry more than 240 hours, and if you had to take your leave. I mean, you couldn't pile it up, because you could pile up a whole lot of leave at a low income, and over the years, and you get paid off, you might be getting paid off at a much higher rate.
Mm-hmm. So they had regular to their federal service. I know usually you start out at classifications, and then they have different classifications.
Uh-huh. I started out as a GS-2. I don't think they didn't call them GS then. They called it something else, but I can't remember now what it was. But anyway, it was the same difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a GS-6 when I quit, or when I retired.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just... they had different classifications. It was just a clerk typist job that I went in on and worked on there. In fact, I was still a clerk typist when I hired in at the VA.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, I quit working on the health records, and I was transferred into another job as the ration desk. And my job there was to keep track of how many patients they had in the hospital, and each day put out a big mimeograph, legal size mimeograph sheet showing they had 1,600 beds, and how many patients had arrived, how many had been discharged, how many gone on leave. And it wasn't always easy to figure that out every day exactly, you know, because, and how many have been gone on leave, how many come back from leave. But I enjoyed that because I had different things to do, you know. I get the nurses send in a report every day for the first thing in the morning about how many people on their ward and how many had gone and how many had come in and everything, and that was compiled that together then and made my ration report.
Mm-hmm.
And
so did you have to turn that out the same day?
Every day, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how long did you work at that position?
Well, I think I worked longer at that than I was still working that when the job ended.
Uh-huh. So you basically did the action that
kind of
like a medical
transferring
type.
Yeah, it's a clerical.
Uh-huh.
At various times there, I worked to sometimes fill in on the discharge desk, you know, getting things ready for them to be discharged. And
mm-hmm.
I worked around. I did most everything at one time or another in the office there, except the separations from the service. They were actually physical retirements, you know, for
mm-hmm.
what came in there and weren't able to go back to duty, and they were physically retired. I never got into that. But.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did your responsibilities change much over that time?
Well, yeah, I was actually the supervision was sort of divided in there. The we were under the military, and we had a chief who was in charge, actually. Okay. But we had a civilian supervisor too.
Mm-hmm.
And I, after a while, I was sort of an assistant to her. But I didn't really do any supervising. That's one of the things I never liked, mm-hmm. supervising other people. And but I sort of filled in for her, you know, when she'd be gone or something like that.
How many other people were working there in that area?
Well, let's see. There were always about four or six of the record transcribers,
mm-hmm.
and then there was an admissions desk there where she kept track of the admissions. I never worked on that desk very much either, and I can't remember just exactly what she did, but she was concerned with the patients coming into the hospital. And then there was the leave clerk, and I think along with the civilian, there was a sailor worked on the discharge. The two of them, you know, worked together,
mm-hmm.
and well, I'd say there were maybe about eight or nine of us,
mm-hmm.
Civilians, just in that one office.
Did you get to know those people pretty well over there?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. They, two of my best friends. My supervisor is one of my good friends, and the other woman that worked on the admissions desk, she's one of my few real,
mm-hmm.
really good friends.
You'd mentioned the leave days. Were there other benefits that came with working?
Oh yeah, we had sick leave.
Mm-hmm.
We get the Federal Civil Service. You earn 13 days a year sick leave.
Mm-hmm.
So that at the time I retired, you can build your sick leave up without as much as you want to, and I had over 2,000 hours of sick leave when I retired, and as I retired on a physical disability, well, I was able to use that sick leave, so I was over a year on full pay after I quit working. I retired in September 1974, and I was on the rolls, I think, until November 1975. No, I wasn't much for taking off on sick leave.
Mm-hmm.
I had a few times, I had an attack of flea bitis. I remember I was off for a week,
mm-hmm.
and a couple times maybe I had a flu or something, but
mm-hmm.
I just was always in those days pretty healthy,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't.
Did you ever, I wanted to ask you, have you ever had any health problems as a consequence of working, say, during the war? I know
well,
you probably have been around a lot more.
Yeah, well, I think standing aggravated my varicose veins.
Mm-hmm.
I always had a tendency, there seems to be a tendency that runs in my family. And I did notice that I've never really had a lot of pain from varicose veins, but I had, my veins stood out in bunches on my legs. Not like you've seen some people, but I mean, you know, they were quite noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that aggravated that. And it could be that the noise, when I worked near the riveting department there, where it was pretty noisy, I wondered afterwards if maybe I do have some slight hearing loss, and I thought that, well, that could have aggravated it, but I don't know about that.
Did you get any help or
the only thing was I got to use my sick leave, but otherwise there are not any special benefits for, I don't think, I just, it's just